Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Follow me on Twitter at Brian Lehrer. Like me on Facebook, facebook.com/BrianLehrerWNYC. And with Mayor Bloomberg concluding his final term in office this year, who should New Yorkers trust next to fight crime, reduce poverty, and ban 32-ounce sugary drinks? Now we conclude our first round of interviews with the New York City mayoral hopefuls. We've got all five Democrats running for the nomination and four of the five hoping for the Republican nod. We wrap it up with Adolfo Carrion, the former Bronx Borough President and Obama Urban Affairs appointee. With that background, he is an unlikely Republican contestant, and we should also mention that he has also secured a third-party ballot line already for November. He is the Independence Party candidate. So, Mr. Carrion, welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, good morning. Thank you for having me. And I hate to start my show by attacking the host, or at least challenging the accuracy of your presentation before the break. But I'm running as an independent, and I've been invited, and I'm delighted that I was invited by the Republicans to enter their process and consider a primary.
But how does someone go from being Bronx Borough President and an Obama Urban Affairs official to even trying to run for mayor as a Republican?
You know what? I believe that every party has something to offer. The Republican Party in New York City, and you have to remember there is a Northeastern Republican brand that is unique and often controversial in the rest of the country. But the one thing that I think has been proven by Michael Bloomberg and Rudy Giuliani and others is that fiscal responsibility and a commitment to a pro-growth, pro-business, pro-job creation environment in a city like New York is a good thing. That doesn't mean, however, that you surrender your commitment to a progressive social agenda. And so, you know, there's a lot to be offered by my party of 18 years, the Democrats. I started out, Brian, as an independent in the 1990s. I joined the Democratic Party. I ran for city council. I was successful. I ran for borough president. I was successful. But I was always that sort of independent guy who was always pushing the envelope because, for me, it was more about solutions and innovation and common sense and problem solving and less about adherence to party dogma, which unfortunately I think paralyzes our ability to reform and to move forward.
And when you said you were invited to compete in this, last I knew you were vying to get the approval of three Republican county party chairs in order to be allowed to get on the ballot. Did you accomplish that?
We have not yet. You know, it's been pretty public that I was in conversations with the chairs. They were very interested in the idea of having someone with my background, obviously someone who is of Latino descent, engage in the primary. And they also understand the winning formula of a fusion candidacy that's been tested over five elections in the city. And I was able to secure the support of two of the five county chairs. For your listeners, you've probably explained this in the past, but, you know, in order for you as someone who is not a member of a party in New York State to run in that party's primary, they have to give you permission. And in New York City, the formula is three out of the five county chairs.
So what you were saying before about being a non-ideological candidate and either party can get caught in dogma, do you think that the New York City Democratic Party, as represented by those who are running for the Democratic mayoral nomination, have fallen off the cliff on one side ideologically?
You know what? I do think that there is some level of compromise with some of the what popularly are known as special interests And that is not, that shouldn't be considered a negative for the interest that they represent, because each interest has to be at the table. But when you have infused your candidacy with the established interests in your candidacy, I think it compromises your ability to be independent and negotiate on behalf of the entirety of the city. In the case of, for instance, let's say, you know, the teachers union, which I love teachers. I'm a former teacher. I think that the number one responsibility we have is to pay them right, educate, get the best teachers, make sure we educate the kids. But when you lace your candidacy with the infrastructure of a labor union, for instance, how do you then come back and independently negotiate contracts when there's all these IOUs in the history of your campaign? I think to a great extent that happens, that's happening on a Democratic side. My commitment, Brian, is to outcomes and solutions. And when we have 30% or less of the kids graduating from the city schools ready to work or go to university, having to be remediated just to start college at a junior college level, it's a crisis that has to be fixed. And you can't be compromised by anything except your commitment to the children and their families.
Do you think that there are certain policies that would help more kids graduate and be ready for college that the teachers' union is specifically standing in the way of?
Well, I think the latest example is this paralysis around teacher evaluation and the need for it to be rigorous and tough. And I think that unless I'm totally misreading this, there has been generally an unwillingness to close the deal, and to the point where we're sacrificing, playing a dangerous game of chicken with the executive. And here we lose $250 million. Now the state legislature is backpedaling and everybody's saying, oh, God, the governor shouldn't do that. He's the big bad wolf. The fact is that we all have to be honest grown-ups about not playing a game of chicken with our future and the kids of the city. And I believe that that is what happened. Now, blame can be spread everywhere. Clearly, the mayor, the executive, has to close the door and say, you guys are not leaving. We're going to cut a deal here. but also the union has to demonstrate that commitment as well.
Adolfo Carrion, my guest on WNYC. He is the Independence Party candidate for mayor this year, also seeking the Republican nomination or permission to run on the Republican primary ballot. Do you? One of the interesting things to me about your campaign is that you've been talking a lot about and presumably too people in New York City who do not vote, who don't actually show up to vote for mayor, and you're talking about hoping to wake the sleeping giant of all those non-voters. Can you talk about that and who you think those people are and how you could get them to get interested?
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, if we just go across the country to another major American city that recently had a mayoral primary, 2 in 10 voters came out. My friend Eric Garcetti, but I have two friends in that race. One is Eric Garcetti, the president of the city council. The other is Wendy Gruhl, the city comptroller. 2 in 10 voters came out participated in that primary. They're now going into a runoff. There were a whole bunch of candidates. You would think that the city would wake up and recognize that it's really important. Here in New York City, in 2009, the last mayoral election, 3 in 10 voters came out to vote for mayor. Obviously, it has a huge impact on every aspect of our lives. There is a sleeping giant out there, but I think what the message, and it's a very dangerous place for the American republic to be in, which is a citizenry that is uninformed and not participating. I think it's a national security concern, and I think it's an economic concern ultimately, because people are disconnected from this enterprise.
No question. So how do you do it? And you mentioned the L.A. race. How do you do it in New York? Is it different from how you do it in L.A.? You know, how do you actually get people who are that disillusioned or disconnected or uninspired to actually come out? Is it policy positions? Is it because you're a, you know, Latino politician from the Bronx, and that makes connections with a lot of people who didn't vote? Or what's the practical mechanism there?
Well, I think it's a mix, but I think the message that we're getting from the voters is that the offerings on the menu are not interesting and not inspiring. And I think it's what they're saying is the Democratic Party in New York City has largely taken for granted a huge segment of the electorate, and the Republican Party has largely ignored a huge segment of the electorate. And I think that there is a call for independence that is driven towards solutions and innovation and not compromised to party loyalty or special interests. And I think the way that you address that sleeping giant is you have to have campaigns that are based on ideas and not sort of moving the machine and pulling the vote, sort of targeted in a targeted way, but rather opening up the discussion about an ideas-driven agenda and also making sure we speak to the electorate. And New York is a majority-minority city right now, and the electorate doesn't represent that, but that's because they're not showing up. So we need to talk about, look, the education system, with all the innovation that we've tested, is still failing. We need to scale up the best practices that we've discovered in the charter schools, in the choice and competition framework that we've started to apply, the innovations that we've started to apply. We need to make sure that the Panel for Educational Policy is a real body with real teeth. It's not a toothless tiger that says yes to the executive. I'm willing, as the mayor of the city of New York, to create an independent body that checks me as the executive and checks the city council as the city's legislature. We need to talk about the affordability gap that exists in the city. You know, it's become a luxury product. The kids who are coming up in this town who are not prepared to enter the workforce and compete in a modern global economy that is information-based and technology-based are not going to be able to live here in the future. So we're going to need to prepare them, and we're going to need to produce a robust amount of affordable housing for that level of income, and in addition, obviously for the middle class to keep them here. There's got to be an economic development strategy that touches every borough. It's got to be reality-based in terms of the difficulty of doing business in a big city like New York, and be honest about the burdens we impose on small businesses. It's, you know, it's very difficult to do business in the city, and of course the city has to continue to be safe. We need to ensure that this city is safe from global terrorism. We know we're a target. That has to be front and center. We need to hire those 6,000 cops we let go over the last 10 years and put them on subways, commercial strips, and residential neighborhoods.
Do you support stop and frisk as it exists?
I think not as it exists. I think we've always had stop, question, frisk. There's an element of respect that's missing that goes back to the community policing strategy that we started to develop in the early 90s when we started to see the crime rates going down dramatically. That beat cop, Brian, is missing. I know that you live in a real neighborhood like I do in New York City, and the one thing that holds it together is the ability to contact a police official or a public safety officer and say, we're in trouble, we need your help, and have a relationship with that person.
We just have a couple of minutes left, and I want to touch a couple of other things. The Daily News has been reporting on possible conflicts of interest dating from when you were Bronx Borough President. One story says your campaign committee raised $172,000 at that time, mostly from developers and other business interests with dealings in the Bronx. True story?
This was a fishing expedition. I think it's clear the article was fundamentally dishonest. It's been deliberately misleading in my estimation. The facts are very simple. Yes, there was a political action committee. It was for political activity. It was more than a decade ago. All the funds were raised and expended within the legal limits. There's never been a suggestion by the state election board that anything improper was done here. So I really think this is some agenda that's being driven that has nothing to do with the facts, because obviously we reported all of our activities to the State Board of Elections. Questions were never raised.
But as a matter of politics, does raising money from people doing business in the Bronx while you were in office there undermine your current argument that you're a more independent politician than most of the pack?
No, it doesn't. And I will tell you this. When you raise money for political office, you raise it from all of the interests that are interested in the future of the city and its progress. Everyone who has ever given me support knows that I opposed projects from people that were helpful to me in political campaign fundraising, and I supported projects. What I did was hundreds and hundreds of projects that would create housing, jobs, economic development. I was for it. And sometimes I would take a beating for advancing something that people were against, that even though they supported me. But that's, you know, that's part of the political engagement. My commitment and my compromise is to the future of the city, and that's where I've always been, and that's where I will always be.
Last thing. If you do not get the Republican nomination, will you campaign actively on the Independence Party line?
Yes, absolutely. I'm an independent candidate. I have a place on the ballot in November, and I'm offering to New Yorkers the power of independent leadership that's committed to them and their interests, and not committed to special interests, and certainly not committed to party dogma that has paralyzed progress in this town for a long time.
Are you worried about potentially playing a spoiler if you attract, you know, certain people who might be more likely to be Democrats than Republicans to your Independence Party candidacy, assuming there's a real Republican on the Republican line, but you don't get that nomination, and a real Democratic candidate on the Democratic line? Are you worried about playing a spoiler and giving the nomination, or the election, I should say, to the Republican?
I'm running to be mayor of the city of New York. If, as an independent, my intention is to be the winner of this race and to provide New York City the kind of leadership that the independent leadership that it needs. if somebody considers that being a spoiler, well, that's their interpretation, because I'm spoiling their party, I guess.
30 seconds for anything else you want to say to the public.
You know what, Brian? It is time for us as a city to come together and understand that we rise or fall together. We are a five-borough city. We have to pay attention to all of the needs of the entirety of this wonderful city. It has to stay a city of aspiration and growth. And I believe that at the end of the day, the best social program is a job, and our responsibility is to ensure that the workforce is ready to fuel that economy and move New York City forward. And if with a strong New York City, we have a strong America.
Former Bronx Borough President, former Obama Urban Affairs official Adolfo Carrion, running for mayor of New York. Thanks. I look forward to continuing to talk as the campaign year goes on.
Thanks very much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, what New York tech startups displayed at South by Southwest. Stay with us.